It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 5th of October, the 278th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are only 87 days left in 2024. And you know what that means. It's time to start thinking about your New Year's resolutions for our special New Year's Day show. Before we get started, I have a question for you. How do you listen to the Sound Kitchen? Through our website, rfienglish.com? Do you click on the link on the Facebook pages? Or is it through one of those listening apps like Spotify and the like? Do you listen on your phone or from your computer? Let us know. We're quite curious. So, what was happening on this day in French history? Well, in 816, King Louis le Pieux, King Louis the Pious, was crowned emperor of the Holy Roman Empire by the Pope. Louis the Pious was born in 778 and died in 840. He was also called King Louis the Fair and King Louis the Debonair, so I suppose he was handsome and well-mannered along with being pious. He was king of the Franks and co-emperor with his father, Charlemagne, the man who united most of Western and Central Europe. Charlemagne was the first recognized emperor to rule in the West after the fall of the Western Roman Empire approximately three centuries earlier. So, King Louis the Pious had quite an illustrious father and followed in his footsteps. He became the sole ruler of the Franks after his father's death, and then he was made emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, the polity that encompassed most of Europe for over a millennium. The countries of the empire consisted of modern-day Germany, Austria, Belgium, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, the Czech Republic, Switzerland, Liechtenstein, much of Italy, and parts of France, Denmark, and Poland. A rather large empire, you might say. Let's flash forward to 1641. Today is the birthday of Françoise Athenaïs, the Marquise de Montespan. She was Louis XIV's favorite mistress. In fact, she was often referred to as the true queen of France due to the pervasiveness of her influence at court. But the era of kings and their mistresses was soon to fall. On this day in 1789, the Women's March on Versailles effectively terminated royal authority. It all started in the market. The price of bread was incredibly high, and the women had had enough. They raided a city armory for weapons and marched to the palace at Versailles. They quickly grew into a crowd of thousands. They besieged the palace, and in a dramatic and violent confrontation, they successfully pressed their demands upon King Louis XVI. You've heard the famous line by his wife, Marie Antoinette. When she heard they were demanding bread, she said, "Let them eat cake." The royals were just a bit out of touch with the people. Most workers spent almost half of their income on bread alone. The next day, the crowd forced the king and his family to return with them to Paris. This ended the king's independence, and a new balance of power was established. Remember that kind of weird red thing with legs that was the Paris Olympics mascot? The Phryges? It's an adaptation of the Phrygian cap, worn by peasants and workers in the time of Louis XVI. The cap was worn by the women who marched on Versailles. It was quickly adopted by the revolutionaries and became the symbol of those who fought for liberty. Music. Nothing to do with France, but guess what song was released in Britain in 1962? The Beatles' first single hit the charts on this day in 1962. Love Me Do. Does anyone out there remember that?
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen,
where you never know what you'll be served.
Paul Myers has taken a good long holiday after his hectic summer covering the Olympics, but trusty Erwan Rome, the magic mixer, is back with us. Still to come, the Listener's Corner and Olya Horton's happy moment, but first...
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, because it's... time for the quiz. On the 7th of September, I asked you a question about the Paris Paralympics 2024. You were to reread our article, Golden Glory for French Paratriathletes, despite delays over Seine water quality, and send in the answers to these questions. 1. How many medals did the French Paralympians win in the triathlon events that were held on the 2nd of September? And 2, what are the 3 sports that make up a triathlon? The answer is 4 medals. Alexis Hancancon and Jules Ribstein both won gold in their divisions. Thibaut Rigaudot won silver and Antoine Perel won bronze, both in the competition for visually impaired athletes. And which 3 sports make up a triathlon? Swimming, bicycling, and running. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question suggested by Alan Holder from the Isle of Wight. What is the scariest creature you have ever encountered? You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so don't touch that dial. The winners of this week's quiz are... RFI Listener's Club member Swapan Kumar Chandra from Kolkata, India. He's back in the kitchen with us after a long break. Welcome back, Swapan. Swapan is also this week's bonus question winner. He wrote, "Throughout my life, I have encountered various creatures, both fascinating and frightening. However, one particular encounter stands out as the scariest. The moment I came face to face with a large, venomous snake during a hiking trip in the woods. It was a warm summer afternoon, and my friends and I decided to explore a nearby nature trail. The sun filtered through the leaves, casting dappled shadows on the ground, creating a serene atmosphere. As we trekked deeper into the woods, I felt a sense of adventure and excitement. Little did I know that this adventure would soon take a terrifying turn. As we rounded a bend in the trail, I suddenly noticed a movement out of the corner of my eye. I turned to see a large snake coiled up on a rock just a few feet away from me. Its scales glistened in the sunlight. My heart raced as I froze in place, feeling a mixture of fear and awe. The snake was beautiful, yet terrifying, with its intricate patterns and striking colors, but the reality of its venomous nature sent chills down my spine. In that moment, time seemed to stand still. I could hear my friends whispering in shock behind me, but all I could focus on was the snake. It raised its head slightly, and I could see the forked tongue flicking in and out, sensing the air around it. I knew that I had to remain calm and avoid sudden movements, as any sign of panic could provoke the creature. After what felt like an eternity, the snake slowly slithered away, disappearing into the underbrush. I let out a breath I didn't realize I was holding, my heart still pounding in my chest. The encounter left me shaken, but it also filled me with a newfound respect for nature and its inhabitants. I realized that while this creature was indeed scary, it was also a vital part of the ecosystem, playing its role in maintaining balance in the wild. Reflecting on this experience, I learned that fear often comes from the unknown. The snake, while frightening, was simply defending its territory. This encounter taught me to appreciate the beauty and complexity of nature, even when it's intimidating. It remains a vivid memory, reminding me of the delicate balance between fear and respect in the natural world. Congratulations on your double win, Swapan, and once again, we're glad you're back. Also on the list of lucky winners this week are AKM Neruzaman, the president of the RFI Amur fan club in Rajshahi, Bangladesh, and Rashid Naz, the chairman of the Naz RFI internet fan club in Faisalabad, Pakistan. There's RFI Listeners Club member Radhakrishna Pillai from Kerala State in India. And last but certainly not least, RFI English listener Shihab Ali Kondakar from Naugaon, Bangladesh. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. This past Monday, Marine Le Pen, the leader of the French far-right party, the National Rally, along with her father and 25 colleagues, went on trial over alleged misappropriation of European funds. They're accused of using European parliamentary funds to pay for assistants who, in fact, worked for her National Rally party, formerly called the National Front, rather than on European affairs. If found guilty, Le Pen could face a maximum of 10 years behind bars and a €1 million fine, and a possible 5-year ban on standing for public office. But you know all about it because you read our article, French far-right leader Marine Le Pen on trial for misuse of EU funds, right? Well, read it again and send in the answer to this question. How many euros has the European Union Parliament estimated that the defendants embezzled? Again, reread our article, French far-right leader Marine Le Pen on trial for misuse of EU funds, and answer this question. How many euros have Le Pen and her colleagues in the National Rally Party been accused of embezzling? You'll find our article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, and on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Good luck! This week's bonus question is, can you remember the first time you received new clothes from your parents? The question was suggested by Ratna Shanta Shami from Naugaon, Bangladesh. Ratna, I can remember. It was for Easter long ago. I was maybe 5 or 6, and I had a brand new dress, shoes, purse, hat, and gloves. I think I walked about very carefully, pretending I was a grown-up, important, and elegant lady. You have until the 28th of October to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question to me. Be sure to tune in on the 2nd of November to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. You can also text your answer to the Sound Kitchen mobile phone. dial +336 3112 9682. That's +336 3112 9682. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
I am Erwan Rom, and I'm happy to be with you every week.
You know what that means? It's time for the Listener's Corner. The question you answered this week, suggested by Alan Holder from the Isle of Wight, was, what is the scariest creature you have ever encountered? If you listened to the show when we asked the question, I told a story about stepping on something in the dark and being horrified, and it turned out to be just a plum. Jayanta Chakrabarty had an experience like mine. This is what he wrote. Well, while Susan's encounter with the harmless plum was a cool affair, a similar experience of mine was really scary. After we had moved into our new house, late one night, I entered the washroom without switching on the light. It was foolish, of course. And I stepped upon a slimy object, which I thought was a rope. However, to clear my doubts, I switched on the light and found it to be a slithering snake with yellow stripes on black skin. I was saved from being bitten. Quickly, I covered the sewage outlet, shut the washroom door behind me, and called the wildlife SOS. They arrived in the early morning and rescued the snake. I was relieved when they told me it was non-poisonous. Oh, but I had the fright of my life, I bet. Ooh, that sounds terrible, Jayanta. You're not alone. Father Stephen Wara is with you. He wrote, "For me, it is the snake due to its deadly venom." Paul Myers said he was most frightened by rats, and he's not alone either. Malik Alabachaya Kaukar wrote, "Rats. They spread dangerous diseases such as salmonella, trichinosis, dysentery, cholera, and leptospirosis. When they come en masse, and they come often, they can eat an entire crop. Because rats are so smart, they continually evade control and continue to spread disease and eat crops." Gross. I had no idea they could devour an entire crop. Then again, I've always lived in cities. Yuck. Rashid Naz's yuck quotient is also taken up by rats, not only because they spread disease, but because of their, as he wrote, unsettling squeaks. Eek, 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 eek. Yeah, that noise they make is pretty nasty and scary, too. For Kashif Khalil, it's my favorite reptile, lizards. I adore them, but Kashif does not. He wrote, "Lizards upset and really scare me. I do everything I can to get them out of my house." But Kashif, lizards eat so many annoying bugs. Coming from Texas, I love that. But I get it. There is nothing logical about fear, is there? Speaking of Texas and all our creepy, crawly critters, Radhakrishna Pillai is most frightened of scorpions because of their, as he wrote, venomous stings that cause immediate searing pain and severe reactions. We have so many scorpions in Texas, Radhakrishna, that we regularly, even in the city, turn our shoes upside down and bang them on the floor before we put them on, just to ensure there's not a scorpion in our shoes. Spiders are Rodrigo Hunreche's bête noir. This is what he wrote. "I have faced my fears to keep them under control, but some of the scariest have been the unknown ones. I rather prefer to know what I'm facing. Once in the country, I was bitten by an unknown thing on my chest while I was sleeping. The rash I developed sent me to the emergency room. I have also felt different kinds of bug-like sensations in my neck that awoke me at night, luckily without consequences. I've heard that knowing the source can help with the antidote when poisoned. So try to identify or find the spider if you're bitten. Dipita Chakrabarty learned a scary lesson when she was a teenager. This is what she wrote. While playing on the roof of our house, my younger brother showed me a large wasp nest tucked up in one corner of the attic. Brave as I was, I tried to dismantle the nest with a stick all by myself without thinking of the consequences. In no time, a swarm of wasps came charging towards me from all directions. I was saved in the nick of time when my quick-witted brother threw a blanket over me. The memory of those scary winged creatures haunted me for a long time. Well, let's end with Superman, also known as Helmut Matt, who wrote, "To be honest, I am not scared of any creature." Yes, but are you afraid of plums? Or maybe just cherries? And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question is, can you remember the first time you received new clothes from your parents? It was suggested by Ratna Shanta Shami from Naugaon, Bangladesh. Thanks, Ratna. Do you have a bonus question idea? If so, send it to us at the Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr. That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating.
I am Yusundu. Hello, RFE English.
Time to get happy with Ms. Olya Horton.
Just take a pinch of inspiration, a bunch of good vibes, a drop of creativity, and sprinkle it with sunshine. And there you have the perfect recipe for a happy moment. Hello, Sound Kitchen listeners. Olya Horton from the RFI English team. I hope you're well. Even though autumn is upon us, I can't help wanting to hang on to my summer memories just a little longer. I hope you understand. That's why my happy moment this month is dedicated to my family vacation to South Korea in July. I had previously only been to the capital, Seoul, in transit on my way to Australia. But this time I decided I had to stop and take in some of the culture. It was a very eye-opening experience and enjoyable for many reasons, one of them being the culinary discoveries. Every day we regaled our taste buds with various local dishes. Have you heard of the hot pot called budae jjigae? Excuse my pronunciation. It's a curious mix of Western-style ingredients such as cured sausage added to Korean broth and vegetables. We also had the naengmyeon, a bowl of boiled buckwheat noodles served in a cold broth, slightly sweet in taste, very delicious. Just looking at the restaurants and open-air food markets is a feast for the eyes. There is so much choice, and so many places are open day and night. People seem to eat around the clock. We noticed that many of the stands and the small restaurants were run by older women, perhaps grandmothers, calling out to passers-by, offering a taste of the fish sticks or the soups or the fresh eel. Every dish is served with spicy condiments and little vegetables, especially pickled ones, like the very well-known kimchi. I admit I didn't quite get the courage to try some more exotic choices, such as live octopus or chewy pork feet known as jokbal. Perhaps next time. Although we saw a lot of Western influence in terms of fast food chain restaurants or coffee and cake shops, we could tell that Koreans remain very attached to their traditional home cooking, which is a good thing, seeing as it's very tasty and also very affordable. Throughout the time we spent in South Korea, I was struck by the contrasts of old and new. Although it's one of Asia's fastest growing economies, with a very young population, all up on the latest technology, there's a deep connection to tradition and custom, which is admirable. An example of this contrast was with the seaside town of Haeundae, about a two-hour train ride away from the capital on the southeast coast. Just a kilometer away from the latest amusement park and modern shopping mall is the Haedong Yeongeungsa Temple. We were lucky enough to visit this very old and beautiful site right on the edge of the sea, where monks still carry out their rituals. I can tell you the memories of this trip will stay with me for a very long time. What about you? Do you have a happy moment to share with fellow Sound Kitchen listeners? Don't be shy, you can send them to the Sound Kitchen or get in touch through Facebook. You can leave a message on the Sound Kitchen answering machine or go ahead and record your happy moment and send it to us in an email. All the addresses and phone numbers you need can be found on the Sound Kitchen page of our website, rfienglish.com. When you record, just make sure you hide under a blanket. It makes for better sound quality. That's all from me this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Ollie Horton. Enjoy your weekend. Bye for now.
Oh, Ollie, what an interesting trip. I hope to visit South Korea someday. I adore their cinema and their cuisine, too. You can hear Olya's happy moment on the first Saturday of every month. Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining me in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, emails, and text messages coming. Many, many thanks to our sound engineer, Erwan Rome, for his input and his expertise in putting the show together, and thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week, the 12th of October, for the answer to the question about the Algerian army. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. Today, Erwan chose music from the American jazz drummer and composer Brian Blade. Blade was born in 1970 in Shreveport, Louisiana, and grew up singing in the choir at the Baptist church where his father was the pastor. He initially studied violin, but became interested in the drums and began to study seriously from his early adolescence. He moved to New Orleans for university and quickly began playing with the city's most illustrious musicians. And then it was on to the Big Apple, New York City, where he quickly became what is known as a first call drummer. That is, fellow musicians would call Blade first when they needed a drummer. He formed his own group, the Brian Blade Fellowship Band, in 1997, and they've achieved considerable success since then, both in U.S. and abroad. Erwan chose the piece At the Centerline from Blade's first album as a singer-songwriter. Entitled Mama Rosa, the album was released in 2009 and featured songs dedicated to his grandmother and family. Here it is, At the Centerline, written and sung by Brian Blade, joined by the Fellowship Band. Enjoy, and thanks again, Erwan, for another musical discovery. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends. Talk to you all next week.
Give me serenity to accept the things I cannot change.